Before we became a country, when the Pilgrims came here in 1620, and they were trying to survive in the howling wilderness of New England, they were forced, by those who lent them the money for their voyage, to implement a form of socialism. It didn't work, so they abandoned it. It didn't work then, and it doesn't work now. And yet, in various hotspots around the world, this bad idea of forced government redistribution of wealth keeps popping up. Many polls show even that a lot of young Americans view socialism more positively than they do capitalism. Dr. Richard Land, noted author and Christian commentator, is the president emeritus of Southern Evangelical Seminary and the executive editor of the Christian Post. Dr. Richard Land joins us now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Dr. Land, it's great to have you back on the program.
Well, it's great to be with you. Happy New Year.
Okay, thank you. So how is it that socialism, a bad idea, keeps popping up over and over and over? It's almost as if humanity just can't seem to learn this lesson.
Well, I think there's several answers to that question. The first one, and the reason it's having such an impact among young people in the United States is they're being brainwashed in our public school system and on our college campuses, and not just public schools. There are many private schools that are the same thing. They are taught that socialism, that they're not taught the evils of socialism. They're not taught what socialism has produced. I mean, the two greatest abominations against humanity in the 20th century were Soviet communism and Chinese communism. In terms of the number of people they killed many, many more than Hitler did. And don't forget that even Hitler, it was the National Socialist Party. It was a state socialism as opposed to supposedly international socialism. Human beings want to believe that they're basically good. And socialism is based upon that premise that people will, under the proper circumstances, work according to their ability and receive according to their need. Now, unfortunately, since the Bible is true, that's not true of human nature. Human beings are not going to work very hard unless they get to keep a significant portion of the fruit of their labor. That's why capitalism works and socialism doesn't. Now, I had a real laboratory experience of that when I lived in England from 1972 to 1975, when I was pursuing my doctorate at Oxford. England voted in socialism in 1945, one of the very few places that has actually voted socialism in, as opposed to having it taken over by a force. And England went from being the wealthiest nation in Western Europe to being the poorest nation in Western Europe within 30 years, and remained so until Mrs. Thatcher rescued them and picked them up by the scruff of the neck and gave them a good shaking as the Iron Lady. And by the way, in case you haven't noticed, she's my favorite politician, Margaret Thatcher. England is an island of coal. Under the ground is coal everywhere. And yet, 2 years after the socialist government took over, they had to start importing coal. Why? Because the coal miners got paid the same amount of money, whether they dug a lot of coal or they dug a little coal. Guess what happened? They dug less coal each year, so that they actually had to import coal. Now, unbridled capitalism is also a problem because you have people who are selfish, including owners and businessmen, and they will exploit workers if they can. That's why we have the Sherman Antitrust Act to break up monopolies like Standard Oil. We have to have a balance system where you encourage competition, you encourage inventiveness, you encourage creativity, but at the same time, you have government and you have the court system to make sure everybody plays fair. I put it this way: I say that in America's economy, which has produced more wealth for more people than any economy ever in the history of the world, you have a balanced system like we have in our government. We have a legislative branch. And that is the equal of the workers. We need labor unions, but they need to have not limitless power. If you want to know what limitless power does to an economy, when labor unions have limitless power, look at Detroit. which is a hulk of a city. We have a thriving motor industry in this country, an automobile industry, but it's just not in Detroit because the labor unions killed it. The government is there to make sure that nobody violates laws. That's why we have safety laws. But then we have judicial branch, and then we have the executive branch, which would be like the corporate people who are making the investments and taking the risks to sponsor the inventions that create this wonderful country that we have. You know, I'm old enough to remember the flight to the moon. You and I, in our cell phones, have more computer power than Neil Armstrong had on the Apollo craft that landed on the moon. That's because of creativity. That's because of human creativity loosed by the free market.
That is amazing. I love that little mini lecture. That's fantastic. Now, so part of the reason then that a lot of young people don't realize this is because of the education that they're getting. And yet these same young people would all have smartphones, or a lot of them would. And speaking of smartphones, isn't there kind of a monopoly going on when it comes to these social media companies, which is really a big deal because they control so much of the flow of information?
Yes, I'm an advocate for the equivalent of a Sherman Antitrust Act. At the end of the 19th century, the railroads and Standard Oil had basically reached monopoly status, and it stifled competition, and it harmed consumers, and it harmed the workers. And so Theodore Roosevelt and others put in antitrust legislation that broke up these monopolies. And we did the same thing with AT&T. I think it's time for the Congress to pass legislation to break up what are basically monopolies. I think Facebook needs to be broken up into separate parts that compete against each other. I think that the social media has reached a place where it has a stranglehold on the public marketplace, and that's not good for democracy. It's not good for freedom.
You know, speaking of that, what about the mainstream media itself? It's amazing how they all seem to have the same liberal talking points, and they will basically ignore important stories that contradict their liberal narrative. And then in the meantime, they'll highlight, you know, stories that are really not important or whatever. Bottom line is their bias is so strong. You can tell, and surveys even show it, 95% plus of the reporters and the owners of these media outlets, they vote, you know, for the left and never for the conservatives.
Yeah, that's been going on for a long time. In 1972, for instance, they did a survey that showed that 80% of the people who decide what gets on the national news voted for George McGovern, while 60% of the American people were voting for Richard Nixon. A little bit of a disconnect. But, that bias has produced the popularity of Fox News and other outlets, and a viewership that's going down and down and down for the mainstream media. I mean, even CNN's come to the place where they've decided that they better try to play fair because they have no viewers. We need to have an understanding that there must be a free marketplace, and if we have as a result of the bias of the media, we have other media sources coming up. 40 years ago, 90% of the American population watched the evening network news. Now it's about 10% watch the evening network news. They get their news from other places. They get their news from Fox. They get their news online. They get their news from Christian outlets. So we have a much more varied opportunity. But the national media bias is outrageous. It is outrageous. In fact, I heard one liberal pollster say he thought that the bias of the mainstream media was worth at least 15% in a general election nationwide.
Oh, I think that makes sense. Look at the example of the Hunter Biden story that was buried by the mainstream media, or even denied by it as being supposedly a Russian hoax.
That's right. In fact, 15% of Biden's voters said that if they had known about that story, they wouldn't have voted for Biden, and that would have swung the election to Trump. But I'll give you an example of how of when it failed. Remember when Dan Rather put out this story on CBS Evening News that George W. Bush used favoritism to get into the Texas Air National Guard, and that basically he was a draft dodger?
I do
that
remember
story
that,
yeah. was debunked, and Rather was ruined within 48 hours because of social media. 10 years earlier, he would have gotten away with that. We would not have known that it was wrong until after Bush had lost the election. But because of social media, within 48 hours, it was Dan Rather that was destroyed by this false story, not George W. Bush. What they found out, CBS did their own study, and they found out that George W. Bush, if you're going to fly in the Air National Guard, it's not a 6-month commitment, it's a 2-year commitment, because you got to learn how to fly. And that he actually volunteered to go to Vietnam, but was turned down because the plane he was qualified to fly was considered obsolescent for combat.
Yeah, and not only that, but the document that was supposedly back from the 1970s actually showed the earmarks of being something produced by, a 21st century type of computer program. Okay, so we have a few minutes left. As far as economics and socialism, is there any place on the planet where socialism has ever worked?
No. No. The only place where it ever produced an increase in products was in East Germany. The Germans can even make communism work. Barely. I mean, East Germany didn't work near as well as West Germany, but it actually had a growth in gross domestic product. Nobody else has managed to do it.
But
in the entire world.
And let me just stop you right there. I mean, just put this in perspective. The East Germany, with the Berlin Wall, for example, that wall was built to keep the citizens within so that they wouldn't go out, even though they wanted to leave East Germany and go to West Germany. And they were even killed in some cases by Checkpoint Charlie.
Well, they were killed in any case that they tried to go across. And Khrushchev admitted that. He said, we're bleeding people. We've got to build a wall to keep people in. I've forgotten now the name of the comic. One comic was saying, one thing, he said, I've been all over the world, and at every American embassy, there are two things I can guarantee you're going to find. One is protests against America out in the street, and second is a line of people applying for visas to come to the United States.
That's great. You know, that reminds me, by the way, one time Gorbachev and Reagan were together and there was this protest. This was in America. And there were some protesters on the streets that were saying, down with the USA, down with the USA. And Gorbachev said, you know what, Mr. President? Or actually, Reagan first said to Gorbachev, See, Mr. President, at least here people can, express their opinions. And Gorbachev said, Reagan, I can take you to a place in Moscow where they say the very same thing. And he said, what? He said, yeah, down with the USA, down with the USA. Okay, so we have about 1 minute left. Does capitalism need kind of like a rebranding or something to make it more popular or more appealing?
No, I think it just needs a fairer presentation. We need American history to be taught much differently than it's being taught in most of our colleges and universities. And we need to have people need to understand basic economics. I mean, frankly, when I listen to Joe Biden, I don't think Joe Biden understands basic economics.
Basic economics,
capitalism.
Yeah,
we need to help people understand. We have the highest standard of living for the general populace of any country in the history of the world, and that is a direct result of our embracing of capitalism with limits, with government there to be a watchdog. And with labor unions to protect the rights of workers.
All right. Dr. Richard Land, thanks so much for being with us. And you, again, are the executive director of the Christian Post. And that website is christianpost.com. Thank you and all the best.
God bless.